gavel thing. Welcome to the December 17th, 2018 Massage Board meeting. The Arizona State Board of Massage Therapy reserves the right to change the order of the items on the agenda except for public hearings set for at a specific time. During the board meeting and upon a vote of a majority of the quorum, the board may go into executive session to obtain legal advice from the board's attorney pursuant of Arizona Revised Statute ARS 38-431.0383 on any agenda items listed on the agenda. All meeting attendees who present are not required in an executive session will be required to leave the meeting room during executive session. Any and all legal actions will take place in open session. Is there anybody that has a call to the public? Do I need to read that? Okay. We have a declaration of conflict of interest.
None from me.
Okay. No conflicts of interest. Review, discussion, and possible action on board meeting minutes. Discussion and approval of the open session meeting minutes on November 26, 2018 board meeting.
Mr. Chairman, Bill Beard, I move we adopt the minutes as presented.
Victoria Clark, second.
She's got it. Go for it.
Emily Clark, second.
Mike Clark, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? I think I have to abstain, don't I? Because I wasn't here.
Well, you read them.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know that. I so moved. Items for board review discussion. Are we going to go right into it?
You need to establish a quorum. You can do that now.
This is true. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to everyone.
So, we do have to establish quorum. Take roll call. So.
Emily Clark here.
Bill Beard.
Victoria Bowman.
John Ortega.
John Ortega. Okay. So we do have quorum. We are good to go. Are you ready to go?
Yes. I would just
present. Okay. So, we've already started, so we're up. We're already ready for items on board review and possible things would be formal hearings. So, file number 19-109, Carol Cork.
Just a reminder for purposes of the meeting, please speak into the microphone.
Okay. Thank you.
From the facility?
Is anyone here from the side room? They're present. I don't plan to call them.
Okay. The time, date, and place where the matter dealing with case number 19-109, Carol Cork. Massage therapy license 24335 is scheduled to hear by the Arizona Massage Court. The subject of this hearing is set forth in a complaint notice of hearing. This is a formal administrative hearing to determine if there has been any violation of the board's statutes and rules and whether disciplinary action is warranted. Board members present for this hearing are roll call.
Emily Clark.
Bill Beard.
Victoria Bowman.
John Ortega.
Earl Dusky. I need to put this up. Let the record show that the board members have been furnished with copies of the complaint to the notice of hearing. A respondent's answer, if one was filed, all pleadings are furnished. Will the parties please identify themselves, first the state and then the respondent.
Good morning. Michael Rain with the Attorney General's Office on behalf of the state.
And Daryl Cork, massage therapist.
Okay. Are you represented by an attorney?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Do you understand that you have the right to be represented by an attorney?
I do.
Okay. Do you understand that proceeding without representation of legal counsel, you are waiving your right to such a representation at this hearing? Of course, you may seek legal counsel on any subsequent proceedings, such as an appeal. You understand that this hearing is your opportunity to represent testimony and evidence on your behalf?
Yes.
Okay. You understand that should you appeal the board's decision, the record you make at this hearing today will be evidence considered by the court in determining whether the board's decision was proper?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Is the state ready to proceed?
Yes. There may be a little preliminary matter I'd like to address.
Okay.
A couple. Mr. Chair, members of the board, number one is that we did file a motion to deem the allegations admitted for lack of an answer. With Mr. Cork present today, we'll withdraw that motion.
Okay.
Secondly, the only exhibits, and we've passed out exhibit book, to put it generously, it's only a matter of a number of pages, and it includes the complaint that came in from the facility, as well as Mr. Cork's initial response. We did have some preliminary discussion. I think we have agreement that we could have these two documents admitted into the record. And he'll obviously dispute the truth of them, assume. But unless anything's changed, I would ask that the board, by the agreement of the parties, take these two exhibits, admit them into your record.
Okay. Any concerns or questions about that?
No.
So,
and that's it. I mean, for preliminary matters.
Okay. A hearing of this nature differs from court proceedings. The technical rule is a form. Okay.
Read that, yes.
Okay. The technical rules of evidence do not apply. Reliable hearsay evidence is admissible. The board will entertain objections concerning irrelevant, repetitious, and otherwise irrelevant. However, the board is the sole judge of the weight given. Am I going ahead of myself?
No, you're good. Go ahead.
In a disciplinary proceeding, the state bears the burden of proof and shall go first and represent its case. Then the respondent shall present its case. After it hears the evidence and the arguments of the parties, the board will deliberate and decide whether to dismiss the case and take appropriate disciplinary action. And at this time, all persons who are called to witness in this matter, including the respondent, please raise your right hand. And will you give the testimony? Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
So, and we've already got the preliminary matters taken care of, okay? Does the state wish to make an opening statement?
Yes, Mr. Chair, very briefly. I don't think there's much dispute that this, of the basic details that on August 14th, respondent provided massage therapy to a client, a KM, at Massage NV in Tucson. The exhibit that we asked you to admit, the complaint describes interactions that KM had with individuals at the facility. So KM didn't make the complaint herself other than to the Massage Envy, and then they made the complaint to the board. So that's the nature of the complaint, that you will have it there in your record. And what that complaint described was that during the massage, while demonstrating the Lomi technique that KM had indicated to Massage Envy that the respondent had described for her, that he then performed that technique, which involved the exposing of her glute while he performed, you know, a long, I know you know the strokes available or applicable to that type of massage, but I understand it to be long strokes that would go from, you know, the length of the body essentially, and had exposed her buttocks unnecessarily. The complaint also described some statements that were perceived as sexual in nature, which when coupled with the draping issues, obviously draw into question whether it was draping failures that were designed to appeal to the purient interests of the licensee, which is the language in your rule. Draping problems can happen, but if they're done for the purpose of viewing disrobed or partially disrobed client, then that's really when it becomes more troublesome. And that was the impression, at least, that was left on KM. The comments that were made were that if a muscle would not release, that muscle would get a spanking. And then secondly, apparently there was a moment when the respondent slipped or lost balance and said, "Whoa, I almost joined you there on the bed," or the massage table, as I interpret it, her to have meant. And so with those two comments and with the exposing of her glutes, she felt that there was something sexual in nature. So she made her complaint to Massage Envy. They investigated it as referenced in their complaint and filed the complaint with the board. We don't have KM present. I understand representatives from Massage Envy are present, but they weren't in the room. And so I didn't intend to call them today, because they, you know, they documented in their complaint what they were told, and I'm not sure how much more detail they can provide when they weren't there in the room. So with that, I don't plan to call a witness. I do wish to cross-examine the respondent, but I think that the best way to proceed would be to have a discussion with the respondent about the complaint. And ultimately, you have a choice of comparing what you have in your written complaint with the respondent's anticipated denial. And we'd ask that you engage in whatever level of questioning you see fit as well, and I will do the same just to make sure we get the full story as best we can without having a complainant client present. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Cork, would you like to give us a statement?
Yeah, the whole, it was a 2-hour massage. I had the same client 2 weeks prior with her and her husband. It was a discussion. She asked, "Does anybody else know any other modalities other than just Swedish?" She had received Thai massage before, Rolfing, and I told her that I knew Lomi. So she asked me what it was. So I gave a full in detail description of what Lomi is, which is a full body, you're nude, it's a stroke from your toes all the way to your shoulders and back, long strokes. Face up, face down, same thing. At no time did I ever perform Lomi on her. I explained it. It was a full explanation. She wanted to know everything about it, which is why the complaint came back as, "You performed Lomi. Sure, I explained everything to you. You knew everything that I was going to do, that I would do on a massage like that. Not a Massage Envy. I've only done it on private clients. 8 years, never had a complaint till this. As far as the comments made, most of my massages are done quietly. I listen to what a client has to say, work in those areas, and that's it. In 8 years, did I ever expose glutes? No. I've always done it through a sheet to keep that complaint from ever happening. So I deny the fact that any of that happened. It was an explanation to a conversation. And from what I'm told, 3 days after the massage is when the complaint was made. If you're going to complain about something, you do it the night that it got done. You don't leave a tip. You complain to management immediately. So, sorry, but she's wrong. She's lying about it. That's all I have to say.
Questions from the board?
John Ortega, it's very common for people to wait days before they make a complaint. It's also very common for them to leave tips. It's part of the dynamics. Oh.
If you look at your complaint, if you look at the complaint.
Okay, hold on. Wait. Is Mr. White going to testify?
No.
Okay. So you've had two opening statements. Now you're going to move into the testimony. Mr. Raines indicated he's not calling any witnesses. So it's the respondent's chance now to put his case on, and the board can ask questions. And then Mr. Raines can cross. So we'll try to keep it.
Okay, I'm out of order.
Yeah, I don't want you to get in deliberations. If you want to ask your staff, I think you have the record in front of you, what there is of it. But I would see if the respondent has further, do you wish to give further testimony?
That would be it. I've given my side of this.
So you may want to let Mr. Rain cross-examine and then the board members have a chance to question.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so I've handed you a copy of these exhibits before the meeting. Exhibit, they're not tabbed, but the first exhibit is the complaint from Massage Envy. Did you have discussions with Massage Envy following the complaint having been made?
I did.
Okay. Did they ask you, specifically, did you perform Lomi Lomi?
I did.
Okay, and did you deny that to them?
I did.
Okay. Did they ask you about these statements that were made?
They did.
Okay. And did you deny that to them as well?
Of course.
Okay. Nevertheless, did they terminate you?
Or after full investigation was done, I was terminated, yes.
Okay. Did they give you an explanation at that time as to why, despite your denials? And
Massage Envy has a zero-tolerance policy, so any kind of allegation made, I believe it's their right to terminate.
Okay. Now, if you look at the summary of the allegations here, there in the middle paragraph, I call it a middle paragraph, it's really just one sentence. Do you acknowledge it says that the date of incident was August 14th, 2018? Does that sound like the date? Do you agree that was the date of the massage? Or do you have any reason to dispute
it? I believe so.
Okay. And it also indicates here that the incident was reported on August 15th.
That would be wrong.
Okay. What evidence do you have that it was not reported, that as Massage Envy stated?
Because I worked for the next 2 days before I was told I was suspended.
Okay. That doesn't necessarily answer the question of, I mean, how do you know that they didn't receive the complaint when they said they did? Just because they didn't tell you about it? Is that?
They told me on Thursday morning. Okay. That a complaint had been made, and until the investigation was done, that I would not be able to work.
Okay. So this was August 14th, they say, at 7 p.m. Do you agree it was an evening appointment?
It was.
Okay. And now, what day of the week was that then?
Tuesday.
A Tuesday. And you said you didn't hear about it till Thursday morning?
Yep.
Okay. So would you agree with me that the 15th was Wednesday?
Yes.
So when it says here that a complaint was made on Wednesday and then you were informed about it Thursday morning, doesn't that seem plausible that a complaint could have come in Wednesday and they didn't tell you about it till the next morning?
It could have.
Okay. So as you sit here today, you're not, I imagine, confident one way or the other whether the complaint came in on the 15th or not. It could have.
It could have, but I, yeah.
Okay, so you learned about it on the next day.
Right.
Okay. Do you deny that you made, I understand you could deny the intention behind it, but do you deny making statements of anything approaching what's said here?
I deny it, yes.
Okay. Do you have any recollection of statements that you made that day in terms of, you know, muscles being tight or not releasing, anything of that nature?
Yeah, she came to me for deep tissue because her back was messed up. So most of that massage was nothing but deep tissue.
Okay. And was there any incident that you recall that you lost your balance, or is there any, do you have any recollection of something like that that could have been construed?
It could very well, when you work on a muscle deep enough, it can easily slip off there. Okay. But I would not have commented on joining her on the table.
And where are you currently working?
I'm in retail.
Okay, so not performing any massage therapy?
No.
Okay. Is there a reason for that, or just a change?
The letter I got said my license would be suspended.
What letter are you referring to? Do you have a copy of that?
I do not.
Okay. Have you checked online to see whether your license is suspended or not?
No, I haven't.
Okay. And if the outcome of this case today is not such that your license is revoked or suspended for any period of time, would you attempt to reenter the massage therapy field?
I would.
Okay. And do you have any opportunities awaiting you in that regard, or would you just begin looking?
I had two companies, but I didn't want to start into those and then have my license revoked or suspended and have to explain that to them, so I just waited.
Okay. And tell the board, could you explain when you learned Lomi Lomi technique?
2012, Maui.
Okay. And have you ever used that in your profession at all?
For private clients, yes.
Okay. And that means clients outside of, like a massage?
Outside of massage industry.
Okay. And do you visit those clients in a, where do you provide those services?
Usually they're in my home or in theirs.
Okay. So how often, can you describe for the board a little bit the times you've used Lomi Lomi? You know, maybe how many times, the setting?
Maybe five times in the last 8 years.
Okay. And what is your draping technique when you perform Lomi Lomi?
When they're face down, you're naked on the table. When you're face up, I do cover the chest and the abdominals.
Okay. So if I understand you right, face down, there's no draping whatsoever.
Right.
Okay.
It's a long stroke from your feet all the way to your shoulders.
Okay. What kind of discussion do you have with massage therapy clients that are about to receive that sort of fully exposed technique?
I do a full explanation of it. I have diagrams, explanation of it, what exactly is going to take place, and if they're comfortable with it. Most people ask for it because it's a very relaxing stroke.
Is it necessary to perform the massage that they are fully exposed with no draping whatsoever when you perform it?
Is it necessary?
Well,
that's the way I was taught.
Okay, because what I read in the complaint was, I believe, that she was essentially half draped down the center line of her body vertically. She says where one half of her body was entirely exposed. I imagined that to be, you know, going from head to toe rather than, you know, upper body, lower body. Would you ever do it that way at all, where you would cover the other half of the body that you're not working on?
Not normally, because you switch back and forth.
Okay.
Right side.
Did they teach you different draping techniques where you learned Lomi Lomi? Was draping techniques in while performing Lomi Lomi style massage covered in your education?
No.
Okay. More of the stroke technique.
More of the stroke and the technique. The covering is more based on client's comfortability.
And had you ever, I don't believe that you had, but had you ever treated KM before?
2 weeks prior.
Do you have any recollection of that?
They had a couple's massage, so two of us in a room, two tables, her and her husband both.
Okay. And you, what type of massage did you give her that day?
Deep tissue.
And when she came back sometime later, she was alone. Not it wasn't a couple.
Right. So.
Other than perhaps that she's just misremembering, are you aware of any reason, any animus, any agenda that Pam might have had to make this complaint against you?
I really don't. It was a conversation for almost 2 hours about one thing or another.
When was the last time you had continuing education that taught draping techniques?
Yearly at Massage Envy. So probably within a month prior.
Okay. And am I right to say that Lomi Lomi style massages would not be allowed under their policy?
No.
Is that, figure out how to ask this, is that because it's explicitly Lomi Lomi, you can't do Lomi Lomi, or is it more that other prohibitions would prevent, like if they say you need to always have most of the body draped, that you knew you couldn't do Lomi Lomi, or do they specifically?
Massage Envy has a protocol of what should be draped at all times, how to drape, work on one certain body at a time, never to be fully exposed at all times.
Okay. From that training, what is your understanding of why, what's the purpose of those standards there at Massage Envy?
Well, you want your clients comfortable, feeling secure. They're not exposed.
I don't have any further questions for Mr. Court.
Okay. Do you have any questions for the...
I don't.
No, he can't ask Mr. Rain any questions, but this would be the time for the board members to ask questions, okay, if you'd like to.
So, Earl Dusky, you said that it was a two-hour massage. How much conversation was in there? I thought you said it was 2 hours of conversation.
On that one, yes. On the first couple's massage, we barely spoke at all.
Okay.
On the private massage, one-on-one. I learned everything about her.
Okay.
That was what the conversation was. I learned she and her husband live out of a little trailer they tow behind their truck. She works on her laptop in the front seat of her truck. They've been to all but 4 states in the United States. So I learned everything about her.
Okay. So how much talking did you do?
50% of the time, I guess. If a client wants to talk, I'm not going to tell them they can't.
Okay.
That's their time. A lot of people come into a massage for release to talk to somebody. So it's...
I was just curious, because earlier you said that you normally get most massages pretty quiet.
If a client wants to talk, I'm not going to tell them they can't. Most of my clients, for deep tissue, you're usually breathing through the massage. But I've had a lot of people that can handle that and still talk through it.
Is Hawaii the only place you've ever done Lomi Lomi?
It is. It's the only place I learned.
So where do you think the half drape came from? You said you didn't do that?
No, I've never exposed glutes. I've always tucked at the waist. Just for this very reason.
Okay.
But when you explain to a client that what massage takes place, yeah, it's a full nude. So shoulders to feet, glutes would have to be exposed.
Bill Beard, the issue of the draping, you had mentioned, I believe, in your testimony with Mr. Rain that approximately 1 month prior to the date of this incident, you had received continuing education on draping from Massage Envy, correct?
Yes.
Your understanding of what that draping entailed, at any time during this massage in question here, do you feel like you violated that or it could be perceived that you violated that?
I don't.
And on the issue of the Lomi Lomi, you had said that she had asked specifically about Lomi Lomi. She brought the subject up. You didn't bring it up.
She asked if anyone knew other modalities other than just Swedish that Massage Envy does. She's okay. Received Thai massage, stuff like that. And I said that I had learned Lomi Lomi.
All right. And during, I'm assuming this had occurred during that two-hour conversation, if you will,
yes.
While the massage was going on. What was the Lomi Lomi just a one-time conversation, one-time topic, and you moved on to other things, or did it continue to pop up during the conversation?
She asked what it was. I told her in detail exactly what a Lomi Lomi is. She didn't know what it was, so I explained it to her. But after that, yeah, it just went from one topic to another.
How long did it take you to... Sorry, were you done?
Yeah.
How long did it take you to describe that to her?
Just a couple minutes.
So would you describe that, Todd?
So Lomi Lomi is a long stroke, shoulder to foot. It's your full nude. They use a warming oil. So you get in at the heel, work every muscle nice and slow all the way up to your shoulder, all the way back down. You switch the other side. Do the same thing. It's a back and forth. Yeah, it took a couple minutes. I don't know what more detail you want.
How do you perform the front when you're doing the long strokes?
You start at the shoulder, work down the arm, come across the front of the abdominals, down over the hip, down the front of the leg, outside of the shin, top of the foot, and you go back up. Inside of the shin, inner thigh, back over the hip, back up the side, up the arm.
So the only thing you're really missing is the breast area?
Your breast and your pubic area.
So, and the pubic area.
Right.
You're hitting the side of the hip.
Right.
So what's the draping on from forward?
On a traditional Lomi Lomi, you would be naked face up.
Okay.
Most of my clients would rather be covered, so a towel across the breast and towel over the pubic.
Okay.
Victoria Bowman, I think the questions that I have to do with Massage Envy, because it said that the husband, I'd like to know who called who and who talked to who, and that's where my questions are.
Okay.
Sir, President, I hadn't anticipated calling. Are you willing to speak with the board?
I think all of you, we have not called witnesses. Do you have any objections to them?
No. None.
So I suppose that Tiffany Harris is the one that filed the complaint form. Is she here? So I guess that's who I would like to hear from.
Okay. How do we do that?
I can call them as rebuttal witnesses or no objection. Add them. I don't think they have questions for her other than... identifier for the record. There's no objection. I don't think that that's
a problem. So you want to call?
Please.
So then call. You'll have to place her under oath.
Right. Raise your right hand. State your name.
Tiffany Harris.
Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do. And for the record, I did file this, but I am not the one who spoke with the person who, that was the manager, Vanessa, who is also here. I just submitted the paperwork.
Okay.
Would you rather speak? With the person who...
Well, let's do this
sure.
Now. So, what happened that made you file the report?
So in my position, I receive all complaints that come through our company actually end up on my desk.
So are you in this facility in Tucson?
I am not. So I work for the franchisee who owns multiple Massage Envies, and so any complaint that comes through any of our locations winds up with me. So what I do, and we actually have a new protocol, we do send all of this to an outside investigator. So I just get preliminary information. We send it over to an outside investigator. I do listen into those conversations with the person who filed or who made the complaint, as well as our employee, as well as the manager. And then they type everything up. It goes back through Massage Envy's legal department. They come back with, does this violate any of our zero tolerance policies?
Could I ask a clarifying point,
yes,
just to directly to that point? You said this is a new policy?
This is a new process that we actually are testing with the franchisor, Massage Envy, yes.
Was the Mr. Cork aware of this circumstance,
yes,
prior to the incident?
It had been in place. He would have to answer that question, but he did speak with the investigator.
Okay.
When was this put in place? Policy.
I don't have the exact date, but it was this early this summer. So it was several months prior to this incident.
Okay. So I have no further questions with her. I would like to talk with whoever got the information.
And before you do that, you need to allow Mr.
Okay.
Cork to ask a question.
Yeah.
I don't have any questions. I've spoken to both of them.
State have any
comments? I do have just a couple quick follow-up questions.
Okay.
So did you hear the investigator's conversation with Mr. Cork?
I did. I was on the phone.
And you've heard him testify here today?
I have.
Okay. Do you believe his testimony today was consistent with the position he took when he was interviewed?
Yes.
And do you know there's a zero tolerance policy, but what was the, what did Mr. Cork do according to the entity that merited his discipline?
There were two violations, two of our zero tolerances that ultimately we felt were violated. Number one was our draping. One half of the body cannot be fully exposed. It's only the, in this case, it would have been just the back down to the waist or a leg at a time. You can't undrape a whole side of a body. So that one, and then any conversations or implications that infer a sexual nature or implication or action, and with the spanking, and then I almost wound up on the table with you. Those were two items that we felt. And in her testimony and her investigation, there was a lot more details than what was ultimately provided because it was a very long conversation. We felt that that was the right move for us to make.
Okay. So ultimately, is it accurate to say that you either concluded that the woman was telling the truth and Mr. Cork was not about the draping, or was it just a conflict that you couldn't resolve and you decided termination?
No, we felt based upon listening to both sides of the story and the details involved that this did in fact happen.
I have one more question. How long has Mr. Cork been employed by Massage Envy?
His manager would be better off answering that question. I believe it was a few months.
Okay. Call.
Speak to the manager?
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Vanessa, I call it.
Do you state your name?
Vanessa Glover.
Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So we got it?
I do. Can I run this close?
So I guess the question I have is, when did you receive this information, and who did you talk to first?
So I actually received an email the day after the service, but I didn't receive it until the following morning because the husband sent it late at night. So I suppose service was on the 14th. I got it late the 15th, but I didn't open it until the next morning.
Okay. And why did the husband send it, or did he not express that?
He said, well, the email said that he was very upset because his wife received a service that was, he deemed, very inappropriate. He said that he didn't think that she would actually submit the report, so he wanted us to be aware of it.
And did he express why she wouldn't do that?
He did not.
And so then what proceeded from there?
So from there, once I had the initial conversation with him, I said, you know, I can completely appreciate where you're coming from, but it didn't happen to you, so I need to be the one who speaks with the client, obviously for many reasons, including confidentiality. So he told me that she typically travels and she might not be able to get in contact with me as soon as possible. I said, is it okay if I still leave her a voicemail? And he said, yeah, you can try, but I can just relay the message. And I said, okay, well, I'm still going to call and leave a voicemail even if she doesn't answer. A couple hours later, she called back and I did my initial investigation conversation.
And did she collaborate what the husband said?
Yes. She gave a little bit more detail than what he had given me, but that's because a part of my investigation is I ask follow-up questions, which I couldn't have done with him because he wasn't in the room.
Right. And how long has Mr. Cork been with Massage Envy?
I believe prior to us, he'd been with the company for quite some time, but he started at Massage Envy Wilmot specifically in April of this year.
So he started in this facility in April, but he had been with Massage Envy years more? Or
I believe it was 2012. I'd have to check my records in corporate system because we can access all records through Massage Envy, but I do believe it was 2012.
So about 6 years.
I'd have to double check that date.
To your knowledge, had he received a prior complaint that came in through Massage Envy?
No.
Okay.
So, I have a question. Did he disclaim it right off the bat?
Disclaim what?
Disclaim that he...
Oh, sorry. So, a part of the rapid...
Sorry.
A part of the rapid response beta test that we're performing, I actually don't get to tell him the complaint. So part of the protocol is we suspend, we ask questions about services that he received in that particular shift, we tell him that there's been an investigation against him, and until the investigation is complete, he will not be on the schedule. The reason for that is the rapid response team wants a genuine response from the person being accused, so I did not tell him any of the details per protocol.
Okay, so who is the first person to tell him?
The third-party investigator through the rapid response team.
Okay. And
Did they give a reason why they believed her over Mr. Park?
I didn't speak with them once they communicated with the client and with Mr. Cork. My part was I contacted the client, transposed our conversation, submitted the report, spoke with Terrell. He gave me his statement and recollections of the clients on that day. And then from there, it goes to the investigator.
How quickly after he was notified that there was an issue did the rapid response team get in touch with him? Do you know?
5 to 7 days.
Okay. So it was several days later.
Yes. It is supposed to be within 24 hours, but it took longer than expected because it was a very new protocol.
So not so rapid.
No.
I have no further questions of Ms. Glover.
Mr. Cork, an opportunity to question Ms. Glover?
I'm sorry.
I have no questions.
Okay.
I did have one final quick question.
For her.
Were you at the time of the incident, were you Mr. Cork's direct supervisor or?
Correct.
Okay.
Does Mr. Rain have any questions?
I would like to
ask. Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Well, I would like to ask Mr. Cork a question. I don't know if we need to do it in some kind of order.
There's some more questions for Ms. Glover. She can.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Mr. Cork, how approximately when did you begin working for the umbrella of Massage Envy?
Actually, I had one more for her.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I thought.
Okay.
Okay, so we're going back to Ms. Glover.
Right.
Okay. So you want me to ask mine first?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to ask, have you known Mr. Terrell in your
just your personal
evidence to be truthful, though?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So that's your personal opinion. And I realize it's just your opinion.
Correct.
A related question, the client in question, to your knowledge, other than the one that Mr. Cork had mentioned the 2 weeks prior to the date of this incident, were you aware that this particular client had had other massages in the Massage Envy universe?
Yes. Through Massage Envy, there's a global system where I can see transactions from every Massage Envy in the nation. She had visited our location only a couple of times. She travels a lot with her husband. Thank you.
Mr. Cork, how long have you been employed with Massage Envy, and how many of their locations have you been a part of approximately?
March of 2011, I graduated massage school. My only employer was Massage Envy. I was hired within a month after. I worked at Costa Mesa Massage Envy, Huntington Beach, and then the Tucson location.
Okay. Thank you. I have no further questions.
Okay. Questions? Does the state rest? Okay. Does the respondent wish to call any more witnesses?
Nope.
No? Okay. So, okay. No, we're all done with witnesses. So, this concludes the evidentiary portion of the administrative hearing. The board can now hear closing arguments. The state may present its closing argument.
Thank you, Chair, members of the board. It's difficult when you don't have the client here to have hear that detail that was apparently given to the response team. Nevertheless, I think what you heard is that they received that detail, they did their own investigation and massage envy, and they documented their critical findings as to what they had been told by the client. And as you heard, from Ms. Harris, I believe it was, that she had heard the interviews, and it was basically the same thank you person. Client says this happened, the court says it didn't. They concluded, based on, as I understand the testimony, the level of detail that the client had given them, that they were the common and negligible tolerance policy. So you take that for what you will. It doesn't mean they concluded the violations of our statutes, but it was serious enough that they decided to terminate. So that's what you're left with is he said, she said, as usual. You know, it is difficult without the client, but I think there are some questions you might ask yourself, which is, well, you know, why I bring all this up? She travels a lot, doesn't have any past history of any negative nature, witness reports, they had a previous couple of massages, it sounds like it was uneventful. She's not necessarily going to, you know, go back to this. She's been traveling, as you've heard. So I don't see a motivation in any of this for her to fabricate her story. It rings true from what I know from having participated in these meetings. The half-body draping, that's what she described, and I guess if you were going to, of course, it was possible. But that's the way Lonely Mommy Strokes would do, is that you're going down one side at a time. And you're going back and forth, but as I heard him describe it, that isn't really what he described. He described going vertically down the side, one side, and back up that same side. So for her to describe that draping of you know, going down the center of the body vertically is logical. It's also inconsistent with what Mr. Cork had said in his response is this year exhibit two. If I can summarize at least paraphrase what he said is, look, I told her all about Lomi Lomi and that's where she got all. But what he's describing is his technique and how he described it to her was that you'd be fully nude. So it isn't really the case that she just regurgitated what he had told her. She described something a little more specific and you know, it was kind of logical in that setting. Knowing that you can't do a full nude, obviously, at massage envy or under or most draping techniques anywhere I've met. She described something that would work with Lomi Lomi, but not exactly how he described how he would normally do it. And so I think there's some indications in the written complaint and in the testimony you've heard that get first to apart from just the fact that it was made without any reason to doubt her any motivation for making the complaint. You know, give you some reason that you can feel comfortable believing her written story. She recounted it to the massage therapy folks. They documented it within a matter of days. And so that's what you're left with. And then you have, I wonder, questions of whether Mr. Cork is used in performing the Lomi Lomi technique fully nude. Obviously, I imagine you would agree as board members that that's a very dangerous place to go as a massage therapist to have a fully new client receiving those services that the opportunities for miscommunication are probably high. And I imagine there's a number of massage therapists who just wouldn't want to perform that sort of technique, whether the client wanted it or not, sent it or not, whether it was the best way to do it or not. So you asked questions about that, and I did as well, and I don't know what answers that gives you, but it hopefully helps in your decision-making. As to the statements, you know, they speak for themselves. I think they don't sound untrue. I mean, you could have a stubborn muscle. Maybe it's not meant in a sexual way. You know, I think it could be interpreted either way, but maybe you have a stubborn muscle and are frustrated. You know, if this doesn't release, it's going to get a statement. It doesn't sound like an absurd statement in the context of a massage, especially one that's attempting to obtain release of muscles that might be requiring extra effort. Also, the idea that you might slip and say, well, I almost joined you on the table or on the bed. The only explanation Mr. Clark gave in his answer was, it's not an editing question. Well, this is a late person making a complaint. I don't put it. Discount it just for that. Right, I hope you don't, I should say. And it sounds logical to me, as Mr. Clark said, it's not completely uncommon to be nice, yet, whether it was sexual in nature. I'll leave that for the board to decide. So ultimately, the alleged violations that might arise from these facts are engaging in a violation of the board statute for rules. So that's all provisions. Under 4253A8, committing an act of malpractice, gross negligence, or incompetency. Under 4253A10, engaging in conduct that could harm the public. I reiterate, that could harm, because it happened literally all the time. It's dangerous. Better below the standards. 4253A14, substandard care due to deliberate or negligent conduct, whether or not it engages, results in actual harm to the client. And then 4253A15, sexual activity with a client, which is defined in 4253B2B as intentionally viewing a completely or partially disrobed subject of the client in the course of treatment. If the viewing is not related to treatment under current practice standards and intended to a field security and consistent massage therapy plan or massage therapy. I want to point out there that two parts to that statute. There's, if you assume you're viewing a partially or completely disrobed massage therapy client, if either the viewing is not related to treatment under current practice standards or and I guess it is an and it's intended to appeal to a serious interest. So if Lomi Lomi is not, you know, an accepted technique in the industry, and you can tell us about the standard of care, you know more about it than I will, then viewing a client in a disrobed manner would appeal to a serious interest is allowed. Lastly, you have some standards in your rules, R415-103C. That you should only provide massage therapy when the licensee believes it will be advantageous to the client. Provide draping that ensures the safety, comfort, and privacy of the client, and referring to sexual activity with the client. So that the draping obviously helps your discomfort, helps expose. She doesn't describe, or there's no reference to her describing the technique. So I think essentially it's a draping case. And the client felt that she was not fully draped. She described the half-body drape. She described that the fact of these comments made it seem to her to be sexual in nature. And that those are the potential violations that could arise from that. And so we would ask that you determine whether you believe that she was exposed as she described, and if so, what the appropriate remedy might be. If you have lots of options, for continuing education, training, and such, practice restrictions, or just intend to return to practice, those may be good options for you.
Do you have a closing statement?
I really don't. You've heard it all.
State.
No.
Any rebuttal?
No.
Okay. Having heard the testimony and reviewed the evidence and arguments of the parties, the board will now discuss the case. The board will begin with general discussion and or entertain motion.
So, I'm agreeing with Mr. Rain in the sense that, this is my opinion from what I know about Lomi Lomi, is that yes, traditionally it is in Hawaii, it's a fully, completely nude, that's how it's taught over there. I know the school that I went to, they did the half draping. That's how they taught it. They taught it the half draping. And everyone I've ever known says that's how they typically do it, and they just do one side and side. So instead of doing the up and the circular and coming all the way around, I
It makes me wonder if somebody, kind of thinking a little bit about that one person asked about it, one person may have obliged, and then somebody had second thoughts about it. Where the complaint came from. They didn't feel comfortable with being draped as much as they thought that even though it was a half drape, I don't think they felt comfortable with it. I'm not saying there's a I can't fight with any one of them. But I do know that there's, like with the half draping, there is an inconsistency there for me.
Normally legal in Arizona?
Well, when it's great, yeah.
Here's my fundamental problem, and it's not a reflection on any of the parties involved here. It's just the reality that every time you take one step away from any of the individuals from actually being here to testify, it should raise doubts as to the legitimacy of what is being alleged, simply because you're not hearing it from the horse's mouth, if you will. And again, I'm not trying to demean or diminish anything that anyone has said, just the reality of the situation. It's like the old telephone game. Every time something gets told to one another person, something gets lost in the translation. And my fear in instances where you're relying on third-hand information, something is lost. And again, regardless of whatever the circumstances of the situation may be, I do believe, to the chairman's point, it does sound to me, based on what the defendant was saying, what was presented by Mr. Rain, the representatives from Massage and me, that something occurred that probably at least gets very close to a line that shouldn't have been crossed. I just have a hard time making the final leap fully to say, you know, without hearing from the person that's making the allegations, hearing it from the horse's mouth, it's hard to say one way or the other definitively.
John Ortega, well, even though I was tending to believe the state, that's my problem too. We don't even have the rapid response people here who did the investigation. We have people that read their response.
It's third, fourth, fifth, and
I think it's like we're going on fourth or fifth, yeah.
One of my concerns, Earl Dusky, is like you said, there's crosses a line. But is it our line or Massage Envy's line, too? Because actually half draping can be done very, very well done. I mean, it was one of the first techniques I learned when I went through school. It was one of the first learns I used. It was considered a finishing technique, where we started at the shoulder and we would just slowly go down. I mean, and you draped impeccably, and you didn't have to worry about it. Yeah, it was a beautiful stroke. I remember because I used to go, oh, that's one of my favorite strokes, you know, because it just feels so good. And then the people re-draped. And so is it our concern, or is it more that they violated Massage Envy? Go ahead.
I agree with everything that everybody has said. Pretty much, this is Emily Clark. You've pretty much taken everything that I wanted to say out of my mouth and just said it.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I think there may have been a line that was crossed, but I think it was a very, very fine line. I think Massage Envy has to deal with the situations as it's presented to them by the client. I do feel that the third and fourth and fifth party thing loses translation. We don't have that first-hand information to really fully discern what happened on the part of the client. Having had the testimony showing that he had had draping training a month prior, that tells me that that draping technique is still fully in his mind, fresh in his mind, and that why would he have done anything different to violate that policy? yep, Massage Envy is Stan has to do what they have to do based on their protocol. That's just their protocol, their standards, their regulation that they have to deal with. If nothing else, I think continuing education units in for draping and maybe some communication might be advisable. But I don't see anything else beyond that.
The fact that she was so clear and so concise on hers, and that seemed consistent to hers, he was too. So to me, there's a conflict there. Yeah.
But was she concise, or was the rapid response team concise? I don't know.
Hey, that's a good point.
And you weigh in?
That's why you're here.
Okay. We've certainly, in the last couple of years, seen our fair share of cases that have come through Massage Envy. And so I recognize that why they put their procedures into place is to keep their... keep everything in kosher order. I can also see that if there's a zero tolerance policy, it's a real good way to get somebody to lose their job. In sitting here, I believe that Mr. Cork has stayed consistent with what he had to say, and he came forward to represent himself. He also said in regards to the Lomi Lomi that he drapes to the client's comfort level, that there's ways we are taught and then ways that we practice. And so I see that as he's being sensitive to the client's choices, just like we say, undress to your comfort level. So we drape to their comfort level. I also look at the fact that he has been with Massage Envy since 2011 without incident, and that he's he has draped to their standards. Now, why this came up, I don't know, but I'm definitely bothered that the wife told the husband sent an email. We have third and fourth, and the person that it happened to doesn't want to come forward. I'm bothered by that. We can do things confidentially. So I'm really bothered by that. So I definitely lean heavily in preponderance towards the Mr. Cork. And that's where I stand.
Does any member believe that any of the alleged violations have occurred?
I still don't know.
I don't.
Honestly, and if it is, I don't think that it was a state violation. Again, I think it might be. If it was, it might be. But what you just said, too, was... I'm just saying that I've had people, and I'm going to give an example, is I had a person who I once used in a classroom environment when I was teaching. And it was so funny because all of a sudden it was just like, you're not comfortable. You're having a hard time relaxing. And she said, I trust you in a private room. I have total trust with you, but in a public room, I don't. And it was just like, okay, but you consented to it. And she said, I have a second thought. That's why I say some people will do something and then they'll have second thoughts about it. And then it's just like, okay, I'm not as comfortable with this as I thought I was going to be. But I still think it's a state violation. The draping, even as he describes, even as she describes, is still a legal draping.
Yep.
So I don't have any problem with that. You know, you can do
it's
that.
More of a Massage Envy violation
if there is
a state
even
violation.
If it is. But like you said, he brought her to that comfort level at that time.
Right.
I think it's more.
I understand.
I think it's more of a remorseful thing. So might be what comes.
So taking a step back, the factual allegations, are we in agreement that some of them occurred?
I'm not even sure that I would actually say.
Other than item one.
I have to go over and get find them on my.
So you can go through, Mr. Chair, members of the board, if depending where you're going, but you have
I just had to find
determine
them.
Whether or not you think the state has proved
the allegations
or failed to prove the allegations. If the state failed to prove the allegations, then you don't need to go through all of them.
Okay, so two. Thank you, Bill, for moving on. Respondent necessarily exposed by undressing half the body through approximately 30 minutes of the administrative blowing lumbar technique.
I don't agree.
Mm-hmm. And most of you are not in agreement. So, massage envy does not permit the licensed therapist to perform Lomi Lomi. That's true, but
I don't think he did.
I think he just explained it and didn't perform it, but just explained it in detail.
But in terms of the factual allegations, item three,
that's correct. So. Okay. Respondent also made oral statements that were sexual in nature. At first he said that was the only part that concerned me was at first he said most of them were fine. Then he said most of that massage he learned completely about it. But it was almost
a two-hour conversation.
There can be a lot said in 2 hours. So.
There can be a lot misinterpreted, and there can also be, if he was doing deep tissue, which he did admit to, that was what she came in for. She can get very relaxed, even though she's talking, and there may be things going on in her head that are different from the conversation.
Mm-hmm. So where are we at with this?
So we believe that some of the factual allegations are there, but not all of them.
Other than the fact that she got a massage and
number one's good.
One is the only one I agree with.
Everybody agree on?
I'll agree.
Three, but
that's
kind of
irrelevant to the case.
Right. Yeah, because we haven't even proved that he did on his own.
All right.
I move that we adopt factual allegation one. In the complaints is finding a fact.
Your name.
And are you finding that the state did not prove the remaining allegations?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Emily Clark, second.
Do we need a roll call?
No.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
So moved. Any opposed? So,
basically, we've agreed that on the 14th of August, he performed the Mr. Cork performed a massage on the client.
Okay, I move.
So what?
Okay, I move.
Forgive me.
I move that the board finds that the state has failed to prove by a preponderance of evidence the factual allegations in those paragraphs in the complaint that the board dismiss these allegations.
Phil Beard, second.
Do we need a roll call for this one?
Yeah, are you dismissing the complaint? You want to include? Yes. You want to dismiss the complaint and find no violation?
Yep.
Is that the intent of your motion? Okay. Yes, then you would need a roll call.
Emily Clark, aye.
Bill Beard, aye.
Victoria Bowman, aye.
Aye.
John Ortega, aye.
Okay.
Page seven.
The conclusion.
Sorry. Not a very good story reader today.
Just that.
So this concludes the formal hearing. The board's decision will be reduced to a written order and served on the parties. The parties will have further appeal rights that will be explained in the board's order. This concludes this matter. Thank you for attending today.
Your license is intact.
Oh.
Before you leave, Mr. Corbin, I was talking to Mary. Just real quick, you'd stated something about a suspension of your license. And I just wanted to clarify that this board never took action to suspend a license. Your license has always been active. It might have just been the confusion with the saying suspended. But I don't think their intent was to say your license was suspended. So your license hasn't been suspended, nor is it looking like it is going to be.
Okay.
It won't be.
Right. So,
yeah. Not likely. It will not be the same.
Okay.
Oh, a date, time, excuse me, and place where the matter dealing with case numbers 19-1112, 19-1113 is scheduled to hear by the Arizona Massage Board. This is Killian Berklane. Massage therapist license MT24679 is scheduled to be heard by the Arizona Massage Therapy Board. The subject of the hearing is set forth in complaint. This is a formal administrative hearing to determine if there has been violations of the board statutes and rules and whether disciplinary action is warranted. Board members present at this hearing are
Emily Clark,
Bill Beard,
Victoria Bowman,
John Ortega,
Earl Deske. Let the record show that the board members have been furnished with copies of the complaint, notice of hearing, the respondent's answer, and all pleadings of record. Appearances. Will the parties please identify themselves, state, and then the respondent.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. Michael Rain with the Attorney General's Office on behalf of the state.
Okay. So there's no respondent, so I don't need to read anything, right?
Can you just verify that tea was properly served with the complaint notice of hearing for the record?
Okay.
Staff can answer that.
So he was properly served, Mr. White?
Yes, by U.S. mail and also by certified mail and email.
Okay. jump to
the state ready to proceed.
Is the state ready to proceed?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I do want to address a couple preliminary matters, if I may, which also addresses service. As you may know, the state filed a motion to deem the allegations admitted. That was filed on the 10th of December. In a nutshell, the complaint was mailed on November 7th. There are 30 days for an answer, and so the answer was due on or before December 7th. So on December 10th, we filed our motion to deem the allegations admitted because there had been no answer to the complaint, which you've heard had been served to the respondent in multiple ways. Then the board did receive on December 13th a written response from Mr. Burke that purports to address the complaint. It's not, I would say, complete. He only addresses half. There are two complaints. He really only addresses the one involving client NP in this. He does refer back to his response of September 30th, which does address the other client and the criminal issue that's referenced in the complaint. So your motion to deem statute is discretionary. It's a may. You may deem allegations admitted. It's not a shall. We do not have a timely answer. We have a partial late answer. And so for those reasons, and because Mr. Burke has not appeared today, and as a proffer of evidence, I would call Mr. White, who would testify to you about his phone conversations with Mr. Burke or email exchanges or otherwise. He's had recent conversations with him, so there's no doubt in the state's mind that Mr. Burke's aware this hearing is happening today. But in light of his non-appearance today and the untimeliness and incompleteness of his answer, I don't withdraw the motion to deem. And nevertheless, though, we could certainly proceed with a brief hearing. I just want to make that clear. We haven't withdrawn that. We don't think he has a timely answer. I do think you have the power to deem the allegations admitted, especially in light of him not appearing. And, you know, you may seek advice on that or otherwise. I understand you did receive a copy of his answer. I have a copy here. There is an answer. It was just late. If he was here today, I think we would probably go proceed with the hearing.
You're, just for the record, you're referring to the single sheet of paper dated December 13th response to the board?
Yeah. Please refer to my initial response. And then the initial response, for what it's worth, and the board's, you know, just full understanding, I think he's referring to what's been marked or what's been labeled as Exhibit 2 in our packet of exhibits. We call it in the index the initial complaint response. So this was a cross-reference, I believe, to what he filed when he was initially notified of the complaint. This was not filed in response to the complaint notice of hearing. He would need to have filed a separate, the state's position is he would have had to file a separate written response to the actual complaint notice of hearing. That did not come in until 3 days after the, or 6 days after the deadline, and does not address the entirety of the complaint. If you do deem, just as a way of argument, urging you to consider deeming these allegations admitted, if you do deem them admitted, and Mr. Burke has a problem with that because he filed this answer late and he wished you would have not punished him for being late, then he can request rehearing and participate in future proceedings. It could be that he's not interested in participating. That's, you know, he's not here, so we don't know. So I'd ask you to consider granting the motion to deem.
Okay.
And one other thing, just so as you make your decision, we do have the clients here today, but they will not be testifying. That it's their choice not to testify today, but they are present in our audience. I would present the case, especially with Mr. Burke not present, through Mr. White. He has had conversations with the clients and obviously received these documents, and so he would just describe that and help. Then I would just reiterate what's in the complaint. So that would be the hearing we put on. And that is it.
Does everyone affect Mr. White real quick?
Well, first you need to make a decision on if you're going to grant the motion to deem.
Okay. I thought that's why we were talking to Mr. White. So.
No, if you choose to deny the motion to deem and then Mr. Rain puts a case on, I believe he said he would call Mr. White as his witness. But first you need to decide, do you want to grant the motion to deem or deny the motion to deem?
Five. This is the people are here, but he's not here.
Yeah, and if he's been given proper notice, and I've got every reason to believe he has, unless we want to go to Mr. White for confirmation of that.
He's already confirmed that.
Okay, he has confirmed. I think moving to deem the allegations is true. We go for it. And
do we need a motion?
Yeah, you need a couple motions. So if you're going to grant it, you would make a motion to grant the motion to deem.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, Bill Beard, I move that the board grant the state's motion and deem the allegations in the complaint and the notice of hearing as admitted.
Take part second.
You don't need a roll.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? So moved.
All right, and then you're going to move into your motion to deem script, and then you have to go through the complaint notice of hearing to adopt the factual allegations as the findings of fact and the alleged violations as the conclusions of law. If you look on page 18 of tab F.
18 of what?
Tab F.
Tab. It says F. Which is right. The
so you've granted the motion to deem.
So
kind of in the middle of the case.
Okay. So I moved it. The board has deemed the allegations in the complaint. No, I'm
Yes, good. That's correct.
According to the allegations, a complaint and a notice of hearing as admitted, is there a motion to adopt the factual allegations and alleged violations of the complaint and notice of hearings as findings of fact and conclusions of law?
Victoria Bowman, I move that the board adopt the factual allegations and the allegations of unprofessional conduct from the complaint and notice of hearings as findings of facts and conclusion of law.
Bill Beard, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Any opposed? So moved. Okay. The final issue is determining the appropriate discipline and based on findings of facts and conclusions of law as we have adopted. We will allow the parties to briefly address the issue, first the state and then the respondent.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the board. So the factual allegations or your findings of fact are essentially as follows. I'll try and be a little briefer than just reading it. But on August 18th of 2018, the respondent provided massage therapy services to client BH, who is here with us today in the audience. During the massage, the respondent undraped and massaged BH's breasts. She had not given any oral or written permission for him to do that. He also touched under the drape. He touched BH's genitals during the massage. In addition to that complaint, you also have a second complaint from client NP, who is also here with us today. And she alleged, and you've found, that on July 12th, he provided massage therapy services to NP at Massage Envy in Phoenix, Arizona. And that, similarly to your last, the other case in this complaint, he massaged NP's breasts under the drape and pinched her nipples. She had not given any oral or written permission for a breast massage. So you have very consistent complaints from two different women spaced somewhat apart, months or so apart. And that's obviously quite serious. You know, miscommunications can happen when they happen, or poor technique can happen. But when it happens multiple times with multiple women in this kind of period of time, I hope that you find it quite serious and take appropriate disciplinary action. But there's more, because in case 19113, we also had the respondent having been arrested for a felony, drug paraphernalia possession, essentially a drug violation. He pleaded guilty to a Class 6 felony. In his initial answer, he said that, you know, with appropriate conduct, it might be reduced to a class, you know, as a Class 6 felony, it can be reduced to a misdemeanor. Had he been here, he might have informed us the status of that. You do have in your exhibit book the criminal conviction documents, but his answer or initial answer to the complaint that was exhibit, would have been exhibit 2, he did state, I mean, he never denied that he had been arrested and convicted of a Class 6 felony. He suggested that in the future he would have that reduced to a misdemeanor, but as we stand here, we don't have any information about that. He also acknowledged having not reported that crime to the board. And so you have, in addition to the two very serious complaints of sexual activity with clients from two separate women, you have this additional violation. So the state recommend or would request that the board strongly consider revoking the license.
Victoria Bowman, I move the board revoke the license of Lane Burke. Lane Killian Burke.
Emily Clark, second.
And this is a roll call.
Okay.
Emily Clark, yes.
Bill Beard, yes.
Victoria Bowman, yes.
John Ortega, yes.
Earl Desky, yes. This concludes the proceeding. The board's decision will be to a written order and served on the parties. The parties will have further appeal rights, which will be explained in the board's order. Thank you for attending today. 5B, investigation files. Board to review, discuss, and take possible action on investigation files, including any complaints, respondents' responses, medical records, investigation reports, and any other documents you received on the course of the investigation files. File number 19-118, Sergio Castro. Nobody's here today.
Mr. White, you're out of town. So you wouldn't, I instruct him that I inform him that the case has been pulled forward. Mr. Castro is being, laid in, sexual, assault on an individual, and he's currently on probation with the board.
They get an October 18th order out of your October 1st meeting. And this was an October 27th.
How long was his probation for?
It's in the packet. It starts on page 72.
Was until his next renewal date, January 4, 2020. So he was on probation for approximately 9 days when this occurred, but this occurred approximately 26 days after your hearing where you ordered the probation, but then an order comes out.
So,
we just need to move this to a formal hearing.
Well, do we want to do a census? We want to give him that option of writing him
surrendering his
plea. You can make a motion to offer a consent agreement for surrender, or if not accepted, within 10 days of proceed to hearing.
Give him the option to just keep it out of the legal system and just go from there.
Yeah, so we've been offering a 10-day, is that, you think that's adequate? 10 mm-hmm. days, so a consent agreement for surrender of the license, if not accepted within 10 days, proceed to formal hearing.
Okay.
Victoria Bowman, I move that.
So moved.
Phil Beard, second.
You don't need a roll call for this.
Yes, please, just in case, because if we are able to execute the surrender,
okay.
Emily Clark, yes.
Bill Beard, yes.
Victoria Bowman, yes.
John Ortega, yes.
Earl Dusky, yes. Okay. I like that idea.
So, you would need the second.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just confirming that you made the second. I missed it. Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Thanks.
File number 19-119, David Riska. How do I know that?
Mr. Riska is being charged with sexual assault and digital penetration. He was arrested May 2nd. Released on bail 10 days ago.
No response? No response.
He made the news. I saw him on the news.
Yeah, I know they had the.
Yep.
Do we want to do the same for him?
Mr. Chairman, Bill Beard, I move we. Offer a consent agreement with David Riska, file case number 19-119, to surrender his license or within 10 days, no response, move to formal hearing.
John Ortega, I second.
Roll call vote.
Emily Clark, yes.
Bill Beard, yes.
Victoria Bowman, yes.
John Ortega, yes.
Earl Dusky, yes. What happens if he, if it comes back that he doesn't get it? Because of all this, you know, people get displaced.
Well, you wouldn't be able to execute the consent agreement, but we would nevertheless issue the complaint and notice of hearing. It's his job to keep his address with the board current. The board uses all of its available staff uses all of their available tools to try and reach him. But what the law requires is that you make a reasonable effort under all the circumstances to reach somebody. Not that you actually notify them. And then, as you may have seen, or we've talked about in other cases, if sometime down the road he showed up and said, hey, I never got this, he could come to the board and ask for relief. But it's up to him mostly to keep his address current to make sure that doesn't happen. And then staff can only use all the tools they have available, email, so forth.
So So going to 5C, unusual, unlawful use of the massage therapy designation and or unlawful practice.
If I could real quick, there's 9 of these in here.
Yes.
The majority of them were filed by the same individual, and mostly I think it's because she was under the same.
Yeah.
We looked into her also. Yeah, 7 of the 9. But they're all here, and they're all individuals, so I don't know what your thoughts are, but anyway.
Which are the two that aren't among?
The two individual, number 3 and number 9. Yeah, some of them are a little bit. So, for instance, I can't remember the. I don't remember which one. There's one for sure. The lady came in. She actually showed us her license. Yes, there's a few of these in there. So, the problem is, and maybe this is something for a different agenda item that you may want to moving forward, that whatever they get the license as, that's what they have to hold out as. Kind of like, what's that guy's name? Javier Martinez once. He goes, his name's Javier Martinez, but he goes by Mushka. It's so hard to pin down, like, who Mushka is. And that's the same thing here on a lot of these. So this lady, I'm not sure she knew that these people are actually licensed massage therapists because they go by Jennifer, and their name is an Asian name that most people don't know.
Another thing that I think we ran across is that
the individuals that at the reflexology location went on their websites, they was offering full body massages. They removed it off their sites. And once I explained to them what the consequences were, they agreed to just do the hands, head, and feet. But they were doing like back massages and full body. If you look at their complaints, the individuals who are complimenting their work, they were saying they got full body massages while they were there. So a couple of them have massage therapists at the location, but you get the indication that those are not the individuals that, even though they got licensed, they have multiple people on site. And that's where the problem runs. They, for some reason, the reflexology studios believe that the umbrella rule, one person got a license, everybody else can work up under them. And they know now that they can't do that. And also, a lot of them have attorneys, and the attorneys explain that to them. So I think we get that point across from that point.
So is it your suggestion we take these one by one, or?
I'm not suggesting one way or the other. I just wanted to give you kind of an update of how they all came in.
The 7, you probably can do all together because they all came in compliance. So from everything except for 3 and 9 is the same group, and they all came in compliance with their agreements and everything.
Mr. Chair, and I'll just read for you your Statute 4242.55b deals with unlawful practice. It says the board may investigate any person to the extent necessary to determine if the person is engaged in the unlawful practice of massage therapy. If an investigation indicates that a person may be practicing massage therapy unlawfully, the board shall inform the person of the alleged violation. The board may refer the matter for prosecution regardless of whether the person ceases. Then we would typically go to a superior court injunction procedure. That's time consuming, and you can get an injunction almost any time you want, because all the injunction is going to say is don't do something you can't do. And so courts do grant those when we go ask for them. I can get an injunction against Ryan to perform massage therapy, even if he's never really done it. The court would probably wonder why I'm wasting your time, because there's no threat, but he's not a massage therapist, so. Right. It's not a hard injunction to obtain. It is a bit of a process. So I would recommend that you at least consider the B that says that what you do is you notify them of the violation. It gives you the option to do more action, but it anticipates that you would take at least initially the action that's already been taken through Mr. White.
So they've already been informed, though?
Yes. Through Mr. White.
Yes. Right. So what are you recommending one further step?
Well, I'm just making sure you understand that within your statutes, it anticipates that the first step the board might take is to inform them, but it preserves the right to still go to court. Typically, that would be more if you don't think they're going to get the message, or if you wanted to get punishment for individual acts of unlicensed conduct. Find somebody who might have done a massage. What I can tell you is we'd need further investigation for something like that. We don't have exactly, at least every case is a little different, but we don't have a lot in the packet that massage therapist one on this date performed unlicensed person one on this date performed a massage. We don't really have that. We have more of the holding now, and if they've taken those down, right. Your statutes contemplate that being the initial goal, and then you could still go to court. So I don't want to recommend you don't go to court because it's really your choice to make. I just want you to know that if you choose to stand pat, that would be sound decision within your law as well. And if that's your decision, you could take items 1, 2, and 4 through 8 together and take action.
I know. Did anybody else read them all through?
Most of them.
I know I read them all through, and some of them were like iffy. It's like, you know, and then other ones were like, yeah.
I
quit it.
Bottom line, complaint was made. We investigated. They've stopped doing whatever it was that the complaint originally was about. Everybody
went number 9.
Okay.
And 3 is separate too.
Okay, so what? So item 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 basically
said they've stopped.
Yeah. They've stopped.
Yeah. They basically said, yeah.
So for our purposes, we need to take what action?
Either accept the response and close the file.
So they do know that we could go further, but they're choosing to comply.
Yes.
So a motion to leave it as it is. In other words, we choose to take no action, and should we find further infractions, then we could do so.
Yes.
I would like to move that.
So,
the effect would be that you'd close the file now. It's not going to be an active file. If we got another complaint against one of these people, you have a record of it.
All right.
It's like you couldn't acknowledge that this had come as a complaint before.
Yeah. Okay.
It's non-disciplinary, and we're not going to reopen these unless something else comes up.
Okay.
So is it worth sending a second letter or something saying, you know, we're aware that you made the things, please, you know.
I
talked
to them physically.
So they know that they're kind of being watched.
Yes.
I guess that's basically where I'm kind of going to come from.
Okay.
Yeah, I talked to the individual studio, or I talked to the FM.
Okay.
So eventually, this is new. This is new since I had come on, that we used to just send cease and desist, but with all the stuff that happened with Cosmetology Board, that's not our goal, is to send a cease and desist without any sort of board action or board review. So we send these soft letters, notifications, and then we allow them to respond. When they respond, you can accept and close the file.
Sorry.
Accept and close, sounds like that's what Victoria's motion was going to be.
Yes.
Or what I would always recommend is file the injunction, but in these cases, they're kind of at least the 1, 2, 4 through 8 are a little bit, I think somebody just had sour grapes, but they themselves had to go through this process, so they filed a bunch. So, and came to find out that a lot of them were licensed just under different names. So maybe 3 and 9 would be different, but that's kind of to answer Bill's question, that your options are to accept and close or move forward to file an injunction, which is a simple process, but it's a process nonetheless. So,
just add the file numbers to your motion.
My motion stands.
And that, just for clarification, that would be file number 19-121, 122, 124, 125, 126, 127, and 128.
Correct.
We're done.
We're going to just close them.
Accept and close.
Accept and close.
Bill Beard, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? So moved. Let's move to case 19123 then.
Yes, Mr. Armstrong.
Mr. Armstrong.
Armstrong.
Okay.
Was
I received a complaint from a gentleman that stated that Mr. Armstrong was practicing without a license. He gave me his website, his chart, his fees, and hours of service. So I sent Mr. Armstrong a cease and desist letter, and he complied immediately. He took down the advertisement, removed any word of massage, minimal massage. He's more of an energy guy. So we're going to regulate that. So. But he understood that using the LMT is made for people with license. So he took it all off his website. And I verified that already. I've talked to him a couple of times, so, and he responded immediately. He didn't give me any hard time.
So he's complied with everything that you asked?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Same thing?
Still doing. He just doesn't call it massage. Because basically, that's in his response, that's what I saw was that he was under the impression that it was just like, well, as long as I don't say I'm an LMT, then it's okay to do therapy.
Right.
You know, and that's what I have a little bit of hard time with that, because it's like, you know, we work hard, we went through school, we went through, you know, all this, and he's just not wanting to call himself an LMT and just kind of fly under the radar.
Well, my question is, what is Masseur Finder? Is that a...
Yeah.
A website to locate.
Okay, it's not his name.
No,
in other words, it's a like a registry,
yes.
So to speak.
Yes, right.
Yeah, he put himself under a masseur.
He put himself on. He put himself
yeah.
there.
But you guys are masseurs. You're massage therapists,
right? Which is
his response. My understanding of his response, in a nutshell, is the work I do is energy work, healing, and negative energy erasing. That's what he calls what he's doing. But reading the complaint, it seemed to me that he's applying
hands-on
full body massage for compensation. The state would recommend that you consider an injunction.
Well, I also found the...
A long summary
pedantic response from the person that filed this was there's a lot more going on there.
Yeah, stuff that doesn't concern the board, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, matter of fact, I know what it is.
Oh, God.
Too much about the individual's personal.
All right. It's just physically a nice muscle doctor who's compassionate.
Okay, let's just.
So how would we go about letting him know that we're going to watch what he's doing?
Like what Michael's saying, he's recommending that you file an injunction, and it would be done through that later.
He'd be served with court papers.
Okay.
And what the injunction ultimately orders is that you can't practice in massage therapy without a license. And that may be, when we go for the injunction, we'll have to have probably some explanation to the court as to the outer boundaries, to the extent those can be clearly delineated between, you know, your energy work exception and actual the boundaries of that exception.
Yeah, and there are some energy work that put hands on, man.
Right. Yes.
You know, that put hands on, but don't go down below the skin. I mean, all they do is just push you through. I don't even have problems with that. I mean, that's Reiki. You just place your hands where you want the energy.
You don't move them around.
Yeah, you don't.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we file an injunction against Mr. John Armstrong, file number 19-123, to cease and desist operating as a licensed massage therapist. Blah.
Second.
Emily Clark, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? So be it. Okay.
129.
What did you say, the feisty one?
Next one is Mr. Tracy Rudolph Rouse. The address I have on the sheet is not a proper address. So I don't know if it's an apartment or not. But both of my forms came back. So I did some more research and found her website. I sent it to her by email. She got kind of mad at me. So she worked hard to get her website up, and I'm damaging her. So. But she's another person that used the LMT. I got pictures of her doing my side. She's swimming down the old, but it was just done recently. I talked to her last day. She had medical problems, but she hasn't been doing massage. Then she throws her resume at me and say, in another state, that she taught massage and was massage therapy. And I just told her, you're not a massage therapist. You get a license. So she was supposed to respond to me with another letter and never had.
Didn't she also admit, if I remember reading that, didn't she also admit that she did massage, but she did it at for donation, or for not donations, for a charity event.
A charity event.
Right. So,
still,
what's our take on that?
Still, you gotta have a license, even if you're doing chair massage. You gotta have a license because you're moving muscle and tissue and.
Right.
And she'll say, when I another thing she threw around is that she just demonstrated on her husband. It's not the same person. If you look at the pictures, it's not the same person.
Oh.
You look at when they're in the chair, the harness, it's not the same person that each time.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, I'll just make sure you, I'll draw your attention to the other thing she said was that she was doing that under a chiropractic license. For what it's worth, that's under 4221B. Can't read my handwriting appropriately. C is a healthcare professional who is licensed under Title 32 and who practices within the scope of that person's license, is not required to be licensed, but also under B1, a healthcare professional who is licensed pursuant to Title 32 who practices within the scope of that person's license if they don't claim to be a massage therapist. Without getting into the weeds, you can't just, and sometimes act as a chiropractic or perform as a chiropractic assistant and then just go do massages. She's advertising on her own account. She's not advertising. The right. stuff we have is not through a chiropractic.
If she's in the chiropractor's office, that's a different story.
It could be under their employ.
Correct.
In an appropriate setting. And for what it's worth, I did not see that in the file.
I mean, that's still a gray area.
But it does. That person hangs under their license. They're liable for that person.
In their office.
In their office, yeah.
If they're outside of the office and trying to use that, it's no
point.
Are
you wanting to do a hearing on this or just go to cease and desist and leave it at that?
An injunction.
I
move we file an injunction in case 19-129 of Tracy Rudolph Luce.
Bill Beard, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Yep.
So moved. Application for massage therapy schools. Board to review and discuss the massage therapy school application pursuant to ARS and may vote and take action on the following. Cypress Hill Institute, Santa Cruz, California. I only have one question on this one, and have we checked, because California now has their deregulated schools, have we checked that?
So, I think it was April and I looked into deregulated schools in California. They did not post that, and we contacted the FSMTD, and I'm not sure exactly what's going on.
Forgive me, what's a D school?
Deregulated.
Okay.
Deregulated. So there was
deregulated. In other words, what happened is at the last.
I thought you were saying D as in letter grade or something.
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right.
At the last meeting, California did an audit, and they had deregulated some over 80 schools in their state. They did a high end audit, and they found out that many of those schools were just paper mills, and. And so they had 80 schools that had been deregulated, and, So
That's all I was asking. Is
so they provided that accreditation through the Bureau for Private Postsecondary in California.
Okay.
I would say that it's a legit accreditation. I mean, they have to come and view the school. And I don't know when they signed it. Looks like April 25th, 2016 through April 25th, 2021. So there's no reason to believe that what they submitted isn't true and accurate.
I move we approve with the
Cypress Health Institute.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cypress Health Institute.
Mike Clark, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? So we are at the executive director's report.
So I left the budget. When I prepared this, I didn't have anything to provide, and I thought I might by today, and I don't. I think I spoke to you last month, but some of the information I'm going to get toward the tail of the month, whereas prior months we received it at the beginning of the month, so I was able to provide it at the beginning. So you guys will probably in the January meeting, it's going to be a month behind versus the current month. So I'll provide another month report again in January. Then the next thing is just potential dates. I thought I'd provided these before. Michael and I talked about it, and I think he had concluded that we probably didn't. So these are tentative dates that we've scheduled for 19. Clearly, if there's nothing for an agenda, we will let you know and we'll just cancel the meeting. But I think it's better to have the shorter meetings versus the marathon that we had. So we missed August, and then we had that nightmare of a meeting in October. So, and then you'll note that on October 28th, I tried to get this room for that meeting and was not able to. And so that's the only meeting for that year that will be across the hall. In the,
is this a smaller room or what?
Yeah, it's a smaller room. The microphones don't last quite as long, and our meetings last longer than a lot of the meetings that go over there. So it caused Tony a little bit of frustration trying to change batteries and stuff like that. So it's a little bit harder to manage as far as logistical things, but that's the only meeting that would be affected by that. So, provided you're okay, I think we're just going to post these dates. It's hard to get other dates, so if you're not okay, we might. If you can't attend, there's no reason that
you just don't show up.
I mean, just don't show up. If there's, you know, things come up. So, and there's nothing in your statutes that say if you miss two or three in a row that you can be removed. There are some boards that have that. You don't have that. So. So I'd go ahead and pencil those in. I've already booked those dates so that we don't lose them. But if something happens, we have to change it. We can change. So. Or telephonic. You can appear telephonic anytime.
Okay.
I don't do that.
Summary of current events. Summary of.
I don't know if anybody else. Does anybody else have any summary of current events? No?
Well, I do.
I've talked to Earl about this, just one conversation. As you guys know, the dental board went through some problem during the summer, probably, and then they did some recruiting. They asked a couple people within this building to apply. I was one. I originally said I would not apply. They came to me again and asked again. I applied. There's another person that did as well in this building that Michael worked for. Super great guy. Had I known he'd applied, I wouldn't have applied because, quite frankly, I didn't want to get beat by him. I mean, it was all for selfish reasons, really. But I didn't know, and I ended up applying, and they have offered me the position as their executive director. It's kind of an opportunity, and I think this other gentleman would say the same thing because he's also an executive director of a current sitting board. that you just, it's, I mean, it's medical board, dental board, those are like the two biggest, nursing board. There was never an intent to come here for a minimal period of time and then leave. It's, I was talking to Earl, it's not like on prom. You ask one and she says no, and then you go, oh, I'm going to go with plan B. There was never a plan B. But I just wanted to let you know that I haven't done an official resignation yet. It has to go through some period of approval with the governor. I don't really know the whole background on positions and the approval process and stuff like that. I don't find that there's any reason why they would not approve it. But I wanted to let you know only because I want to be available as much as I can for this board, partly because this was an awesome opportunity and there was never an intent to, like, come and then go, which is what it seemingly looks like, but it's not. I never had any disparaging thoughts to go that direction. So what I would suggest, and there's no, it's not agendized, and I purposely didn't put it on the agenda so that you couldn't make any motions, but really just to give kind of procedurally what can be done next. What I would suggest is that we hold a, Emily, you're going to love hearing this, and you don't have to participate as long as you, trust your fellow board members that they're going to do, you know, similarly to what you would do. So,
already qualifying.
What you could do is go through a. What I would suggest is just have a meeting telephonically. You could do this quickly in probably 30 minutes to decide how to proceed. There's and I'm not an HR representative, but I have spoken to them. You can go through a direct hire, which is what you guys did with me, because I think Kathleen had the recommendation. I've talked to a couple people, namely the chiropractic director, because there is some interest that he would like to take. But his interest isn't to take over the massage board and leave the chiropractic board. He wanted kind of a dual role. And then in that case, and I don't want you to make these decisions now, but these are what you would consider. That would be one thing, a direct hire.
In that case,
you could do a compete.
April would.
Yeah, we got to be careful because
yeah,
agendized for discussion. But anyone can ask questions of Ryan outside the meeting. Like, you don't talk to each other about that.
So there's multiple ways you could go.
You're just giving us a heads up that there's something coming.
Yeah, and so I would set something. I can do it as early as this week, not tomorrow, unless it's an afternoon telephonic meeting because we have to have 24-hour notice. But it would be, and I would be present at the meeting to discuss the options more fully, and I would probably contact an HR representative to help in this process. But I would just say do it sooner than later because the next meeting is January 28th, which I plan to attend again. So, but you don't want to wait too long because then you could be without, because dental board's not going to let me hang out March, April until somebody comes in, if that makes sense. So, so that would move me to item 8, which would be to basically discuss possible action items for future agendas, and so I would make that a future agenda item on a future meeting, and I would set a telephonic meeting this week if you're able.
And just as summary of that event as well, that we're aware of it at the Attorney General's office. We don't really get involved in the hiring part, but you know, we'll facilitate the best we can, or help participate. But also, I think you know, your chairman can discuss with Mr. Edmondson, you know, things that can be working in the background. You don't have to wait for a meeting for the chair to talk with Ryan or Department of Administration, ADOA people about options for hiring or posting, or you know, so that when you get to that special meeting, you might even have a head start. So that just an FYI, that could be going on in the background before you have your next meeting, so that Chairman Deskey or Ryan might be able to say, here's what we already have as options. Okay. And if anyone has specific questions, I know it's not agendized for discussion, I would just say you can talk to Ryan privately. You can talk to the chair, but then you start getting
you know, in a chain of communication about it. So I'd say just be cautious about talking to each other outside of a meeting. But you can always talk to Ryan independently, and Ryan knows the open meeting issue, so he wouldn't even forward your comments to the other people. And so, I know you, for what it's worth, don't start sending each other emails saying, did you guys, you know, because you'll have a meeting soon to talk about. Right.
Victoria Bowman, I move that we have Ryan set a telephonic meeting for some time later this week in which we can discuss current events.
Mike Clark, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? Anybody having a suggestion?
I'll send
some availabilities.
Kind of generic email, and then just, or it'll come from somebody, and then just respond just to that. Don't do a reply all. And then we'll try to get a consensus of at least three. So, and again,
lunchtime is good for me. I'm also off on Friday. Anytime between 12 and 1 would be
good to know.
I'm actually back up here in Phoenix on Wednesday, so.
Oh, and just FYI, when we do have that meeting, it's an employment-related matter, or we'll probably make it so. I mean, it is, because you're discussing the employment of your future director, perhaps, or the employment of Mr. Edmondson. So just FYI that we can hold that in executive session.
Right, because you're going to be discussing wages. You're going to be discussing...
You could be, you know, it can fit under that. Now, ultimately, you make decisions in the open session, but it's not like you sit in an open meeting and,
right,
and talk about his employment or the possible employment of someone else in the future. Up for those who might want to attend and find it less interesting than it might have otherwise been, it could just be a meeting that to the public would just be, you know, we get to see one motion at the end or something, but not actually hear all the discussion.
Executive direction, would it be just us then?
Yeah, I mean, it just depends. Usually in an employment matter, it's the board and the person. And oftentimes the AG's office will, if it's like how much you're going to pay someone or whether you're approving of someone's performance, we don't need to be in there. This isn't that. I mean, this is more future planning. And so, I mean, I'm happy to be in the executive session, but it wouldn't be completely out of the norm for me not to be in there either. But I just want to give you the heads up that that's an option and probably a good idea. And so it'll be agendized to allow that to happen. And